We had no Lisa Roberson on Tuesday. She was off on assignment, and we had to reschedule for today. Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle-Telegram joining us here in studio, and all of our talks with Lisa brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers, a trusted name in jewelry. They're located on Broad Street right across from the hospital. Lisa, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm happy to be back in Lorain County.
Well, before we get into the nuts and bolts of the interview, everyone's dying to know, how was Beyonce and how was Jay-Z?
It was an incredible concert. Beyonce put on a wonderful show, and her husband provided great entertainment while she changed clothes.
Explain that. You were telling me about that before we came back from the break, what all went down here.
You can just tell the crowd really leaned towards Beyonce, probably 80-20. People came to see Beyonce, and we kind of allowed Jay-Z to be there in her space. She's the queen, and we just enjoyed her and enjoyed her performance, and we chanted her name and, you know, told him to kind of, you know, step out of her shine so that we can see more Beyonce.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time. I can't believe no cheesesteak when you were in Philadelphia. You decided to skip the cheesesteak.
I did skip the cheesesteak. I actually went to a sandwich shop but did not pick up a cheesesteak. I just kind of got a cold cut sandwich, but I did not get the cheesesteak.
That's all right.
Saw the Liberty Bell, though.
Okay, nice. So you saw some of the landmarks then?
Yes.
All right, good stuff. Well, glad you had a good time. Glad to have you back here in studio. Lots to get into, and I want to start with something I know that you had alluded to last Tuesday that you were going to put out there, and it was pretty interesting stuff, you know, with Elyria adding counselors and social workers, and it sounds like that's becoming a growing trend.
That is what I'm hearing from a lot of our school superintendents and school officials, that they need students to have these kind of wraparound services, and social workers are some of the elements they need in the buildings. Social workers can address some of the traumas that students deal with, because the things that happen in the homes and the communities, you know, the drug abuse of parents, the inability to have quality meals at home, all of these things bleed right over into the classrooms and it impacts how students can go about their day. So schools know they have to be able to provide these kind of services for students, so they're going to provide a lot more social workers.
And that's not necessarily just something that's prevalent at the high school level. It's really kind of all over the place. And I know that was something that you had detailed, especially at Franklin Elementary School. They had these group sessions, and it sounds like group sessions are becoming a heck of a lot more popular also. What are some of the things that go on at some of these group sessions?
Well, last year at Franklin Elementary School, they lost their beloved principal, Lisa Lynch, and that just kind of highlighted some of the needs they had in their building to provide some emotional support for students. So they brought some social workers in so they can address some of these needs and kind of help students and help teachers deal with her loss. And in that process, they kind of have been peeling back the onion and seeing that students have a lot more needs.
And it sounds like, you know, teachers are certainly not immune to this as well. Teachers also need support, whether that's the kind of support that, you know, we've alluded to already, the support where they need more people to come in and help them out and aid in the grieving process for the students. But look, you know, if you're a teacher and, you know, your principal passes away, I mean, look, they need support as well.
Absolutely. They need support in that way. And also, if you're a teacher and the students in your classroom are talking about how, you know, their mom may have lost a job or they don't know where their next meal is going to come from, maybe their lights got cut off, all of these stressors they're going to be bringing into the classroom, and you feel like you have to deal with them, and you may not have the skills to handle every single need that these students have. And so the social workers will help them to be able to kind of facilitate a little more conversation with their students and you know, help them come to grips with what's going on in their homes.
You had teased this a little bit last week, talking about how you had a conversation with the superintendent at Elyria, Dr. Tom Jama, and you were telling us about, you know, his experience with some of his own struggles. And they've actually got something called the Jama Board. What exactly is the Jama Board?
Well, when he was the principal at Elyria High School, he was very hands-on with the students, and he made sure that, you know, there was a certain group of students that he identified that probably needed a little bit more hands-on help, a little more face-to-face time with him. And so he wanted to see these students each day. He wanted to make sure he can put his eyes on these students and make sure they were okay and they were in the mental space to be able to conquer the day.
Very interesting stuff. And like what, how many students make up this board? And is it like a forever changing board? How does that work?
Well, it was kind of a forever changing board. He just kind of had students on there as he needed them to be there. He was just a really great principal in the high school at the time. And now he's a superintendent. And so it's given him this insight into like the needs of his students on a more emotional and mental level.
Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle-Telegram, our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. It's our local beat with Lisa, and it's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. I want to transition into something else now. Boy, a story I know that we've at least touched on over the last few weeks here, but it seems like it just continues to develop. Boy, there are a lot of new candidates that have come forward since the last time we spoke for the Elyria City Council's 4th Ward seat, and there were a couple of familiar names in there, and it sounds like we're going to know a little bit more about this process in the next couple of weeks.
Yes. On Monday, we'll have a meeting where they kind of sit down and lay out the groundwork of how they're going to pick this person. You know, they have to schedule a special meeting. They have to determine how long each person will address council, what kind of questions they want to ask the person. This is a vote of just council members. Right now, there's 10 council members, and it's going to be a majority vote to pick the next council member. So they have to kind of come up with a process that's fair to everyone. So they'll have all 15 candidates. Right now, we have 15. One candidate was learned that he was ineligible because he has not lived in the ward long enough. That's Chuck Messer. And so he's out. And so now we have 15 people that they have to choose from. And some pretty good names on there. So I think it's going to be a tough road for council to walk, to try to find, you know, one person they can get a majority of vote around.
Now, there's a special meeting, right? That's the meeting you were referring to coming up on Monday to talk to some of the candidates. They have until the end of the month, though, right?
Yes.
They've got until the end of August to make up their mind.
Yes. Monday is a regular meeting, so this conversation will take place during this miscellaneous items, and so they'll kind of lay out the groundwork about what they want to do, and then they'll set the date for the special meeting. So the special meeting will take place later in the month.
Because there's only supposed to be one meeting per month in the summer, right?
Yes, one meeting per month, and so they'll have a special meeting because they have to pick this person before the end of the month. So they'll have a special meeting towards the end of the month.
Boy, and it all kind of came together so quickly, too. But, I mean, as you look at that list, I don't really know that there's any way of looking at this process and determining if there's a favorite here or a couple of favorites. I mean, when you had detailed these candidates earlier in the week, there are a lot of very qualified candidates here.
I mean, there's a lot of candidates. You know, there's people who once worked for the city in some capacity, whether it's as a city employee in a cemetery department, whether someone from planning commission, someone from civil service. You know, there's Bonnie Advancic, who was once on that council seat. Actually, Mark Craig won that seat from her, so she has experience in that ward. You have Frank Whitfield, who from the Urban League is on that list. You just have so many people who really want to be the next council person.
Yeah, but there's a lot of very, very interesting names, no doubt about that. You had done a story last week that I wanted to ask you about. It's about this T&A bar applying for a new liquor license. And, boy, it was fascinating to read some of the quotes in there, to see those that are opposed to it and see those that definitely wanted this thing or want this thing to go down. But I read that, and I thought, boy, both sides are coming at this thing from totally different angles.
Well, the T&A bars had a very long history in the city of Elyria. You know, this dates back 4 or 5 years ago when the city first went after them trying to take their liquor license because there was a lot of calls for service over there and a lot of issues in the bar, and that bled over into the neighborhoods. And so it actually ended with them losing their liquor license. The city went before the state and objected to them having their liquor license, and the state upheld those objections and took away their liquor license. So the bar has been closed for more than a year. And so now if they get their liquor license back, they can reopen. They want to reopen as a restaurant, I believe a pizza shop, but with a full bar.
How long does that process normally take? I mean, I know that's a real iffy situation, because if you have your license taken away, you've got to go through some other steps in the process in order to get it back. And I know that's a very, very restrictive process. They have any idea as to what kind of timeline they're looking at, especially if there's a lot of opposition?
This is going to be several months, because the city is going to have to file a formal request for a hearing with the State Department of Liquor. And then the Liquor Division is going to have a hearing. And then the hearing will probably, typically the hearings take place locally, so it's easy for the different parties to come. And they'll present their evidence. The police department will probably come in and present evidence about why they want this place to remain closed. And then the city will present some evidence. The owners will have an opportunity to present evidence about why they should be allowed to have their permit back. And then the state will take a few weeks to come up with a decision.
So it's the same owner, and he wants to kind of rebrand this, right? You said it's a pizza shop?
I believe they do. It's a couple, Anthony and Angela Carter. I have yet to speak with them more recently. They did not want to speak on the record about this particular request. I'm hoping that I can speak with them to kind of see what's happened in the last year and a half, that they think changes they can make to make this business more valuable to the community. Right now it's going to be several months in the process.
Very cool stuff. Well, before we let you go, we've got to ask you what you have in the hopper for next week. And Well, we're getting awfully close to the beginning of the school year. I know Elyria won't go back for another month or so, but there are some schools in the area that are looking at about 2 weeks out before getting back in.
I know. That's really exciting. I like the back-to-school stories. I'm going to be kind of tackling a lot of those in the coming weeks of seeing what's the new programs and new initiatives that a lot of the districts are starting. They kind of do – this is where they lay the groundwork in the summertime so that when come August, September, they can hit the ground running and kind of really bring the kids in for a new school year.
Very good stuff. Well, we look forward to speaking with you next Tuesday when we get back to a regular schedule. Before we let you go, though, what was your favorite song at that concert?
Oh, my gosh. He played so many good songs. I mean, I think Formation may be my favorite song because I just like the kind of the women empowerment behind it. But I also like Girls Run the World, too, because that one's also a strong girl power song. So there was a lot of good songs. I like how they end with Forever Young. That's always a good closing song. This is a good duo song. I enjoy Beyonce. I know a lot of people, you know, either you love her or you hate her. I am in the love her camp. I am completely in love with everything that's Beyonce. So she did no wrong for me.
Good stuff. Well, glad you enjoyed it. Glad to have you back. And again, we look forward to doing this again next week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa. Again, Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle-Telegram joining us on our local beat with Lisa. It is brought to you weekly by Vandemark Jewelers. They are located on Broad Street right across from the hospital. Vandemark Jewelers, a trusted name in jewelry. Make sure you visit Jim and Bob Vandemark. They'll take care of all your jewelry needs.